This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show here on the EWN Podcast Network. I am very excited to be sharing with you some great information today. This is we're doing a little redo. So apparently last week we had a bit of a technical difficulty for some reason. I don't know if the live broadcast was effective, was working, or what the exact dealio was going on. But we had, when I went in to do some, just after I do the programs, you know, I do some editing in there and just take out some of the rough spots. If there's a cough or a noise in the background or something that I need to take care of. And when I did that, I realized that the entire show did not record. The only thing that recorded was the intros and the exits and the commercials. About 7 minutes of recording, and I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. This was such a cool topic, your brain and creativity and how to engage your brain to be more creative. Literally train your brain and tap into your creative natural self, that I thought, oh, I just have to redo this. So I've got a backup recording going on here right now. So if something happens on my Blog Talk Radio platform that prevents us from getting this topic and this show recorded, I got me a backup that I'll be able to upload afterwards to anyone who listens to this as a download later. So for those of you who follow the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, I apologize for waiting an entire week to catch that mistake. I don't know. This last crazy August has just been a crazy month for me. Crazy, crazy busy. We'll be back on a little bit more normal schedule come September. But for those of you who might have tried to listen in later, I hope you're listening now. I hope you take it the time to, I hope you're not too disappointed with the technical issues that I tend to have on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show sometimes. I'm not a techie. I'm the brain geek, right? You know, I can tell you lots of things about the brain and about your personality and getting along with people and increasing your cells and tapping into your creativity. But don't ask me to do too many technical things or I'll get lost. I apologize for that. That is not my brain strength. It is just not my brain strength areas. So that is the reason why we had whatever issues, whether it was the platform's issue or it was my issue, who knows and who cares, really. The point is that we are where we are at this particular point in time, and we're redoing it. We're redoing it because it's a really cool topic, and it's a topic that I think everyone at one time or another has thought about. You know, it is something that is, some people look at other people and just are jealous and wish they could be as creative as the next. And I'm going to bring out some very interesting brain information today that is going to hopefully have you look at creativity in a little bit different angle, as well as learn how to use your own, your natural brain wiring and create dynamic wiring within your brain that will help you to tap into your own personal creativity, because we all have it. We all have it. And this is proven by science. And you know me, I love the science, the neuroscience behind the psychology. So we're going to get into this a little bit more as we go through the show. But as I do this, I want to remind everyone, please stay on till the end of the show. We always have fun, juicy stuff at the end of the show, and it's that last section of the show where I'm going to give you the tips, the real tips that you can actually apply in a day-to-day your day-to-day routines, your day-to-day life, your week-to-week processes that will help you to really tap into your own natural creativity and start looking at things a little bit outside of the box. But you're only going to get those tips at the end, so you got to stay on to the end of the program. Also, I want to always mention that anything that I say here on the Your Best Mind, through Your Best Mind or on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, it's just a lot of great information that I like to share. I'm not a therapist. If you have, I'm not a medical doctor. If you have certain challenges that you are living with or certain challenges that you face that you think need, medical attention or the attention of a therapist, by all means, reach out to one. This is not medical advice or therapy advice. This is just cool stuff that's coming out of the field of neuroscience that Brain Lady Julie is sharing with you. All right. And follow us. Click like and follow the show. Follow the show at brainladyspeaks.com. Follow Brain Lady Speaker. Follow Julie Brain Lady Anderson on Twitter. I am at Brain Lady. On Instagram, I am Brain Lady Julie. On LinkedIn, I am Brain Lady Julie. You can also follow my Facebook page, business page, Your Best Mind Online. Lots of ways to stay in connection with me. Any questions, comments, or ideas for the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com. All right, with that in mind, let's jump into this topic on creativity. Creativity. And it's pretty interesting. One of the reasons why I was thought to do this particular show is because Time Magazine actually put out recently a special edition on the science of creativity. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So some of the information that I'm sharing with you today are going to be quotes from that particular magazine, as well as information from different researchers and different neuroscientists that I follow and that I am just enthralled with their research that they're doing. But one of the things that I like in this particular magazine that I was talking about is an anthropologist, Augustine Fuentes. He is at the university. He works at the University of Notre Dame, and he is the author of the book, Creative Spark, How Imagination Made Humans Exceptional. He says that the essence of creativity is to look at the world around us, see how it is, and imagine other possibilities that are not immediately present or based on our immediate or personal experience. Creativity is seeing the possibilities and then trying to make those imaginings into a material reality. So I like his explanation. I think that's a really cool explanation. And this is a trait that's very unique to the depth of it. It's very unique to the human race. So you look at the animals and in nature, and sure, a bird may create a very, interesting looking nest, but all of that is driven primarily on just instinct. It's not like they go out looking for a leaf or a branch to put into their nest, and they look at it and they say, wow, that has a very cool shape to it. It would look really awesome in this corner of my nest, right? They don't do that. They just go out and collect the things that they need to build the nest so that they can have a place to lay their eggs. It's not something that they look at with a creativity. Now, there's different things that I've seen in animal research that is pretty cool. There was, you look at the elephants and different animals that they will give a paintbrush to, and they may do something on a piece of paper, but there's still some interest, there's still some doubt as to just how much that is that animal doing something that is going to get your approval, because animals do crave the approval and the praise from their human counterparts, as opposed to the animal actually being creative. Most of your experts are going to tell you it's just the first, right? The latter is unique to the human race. But another thing that's very interesting about the topic of creativity is a lot of people look at creative individuals of the past, say Leonardo da Vinci, or different individuals that just seem to really think out of the box, or even those that you may know today. And they kind of pigeonhole them, these individuals, thinking that they're the only ones who have creativity, or that creativity belongs to this very small group of genius brains. And yet, every single one of our brains has its own natural creativity. The world may just not look at it as being creative. So you know me, I talk about the brain-personality connection. For those of you who are interested, it is the most powerful, let me tell you, powerful and comprehensive personality profiling system available on the market today. You will not find anything out there like it that has the multifacets that this particular one has. It has five very in-depth facets, whereas the majority of your personality assessing programs have, they just have one facet, and that's what equates to, in the BPCA, which is the Brain Personality Connection Assessment, to the Brain Quadrant Dominance, you know, the four main personality types, which you're going to see in a lot of different personality assessing tools, whether it's the DISC tool, the color tool, or whatever, right? Whereas the Brain Personality Connection, that is just one of the five facets. A person and your personality is so multifaceted, and it is so deep, and it is so unique as your own very thumbprint, that you cannot put it, you cannot rate that personality with just one of those five facets, which is what most personality assessing tools do. This personality assessing tool is above that because it takes into all of these different facets, and it talks about, in addition to that, it has the neuroscience backing it. It's not a bunch of psychologists watching and studying. That is part of the assessment. But the majority of it, we talk about the actual wiring in your brain and how that brain wiring is creating who you are as an individual. That's the BPCA. That's the Brain Personality Connection Assessment. And one of those is the four main personality types that a lot of people talk about, the four quadrants of the brain. They don't assess it to, or they don't connect it to the four quadrants of the brain like we do at Your Best Mind. However, that's in essence what they're referring to. And those four quadrants are the boss quadrant in the brain, the master coordinator quadrant, the nurturer, and the innovator. And depending on which area of your brain, which of those four main quadrants, two on the left, two on the right of the brain, that you use with the least amount of energy, that's going to be powerfully reflected in your personality. Now, most people will look at those individuals who spend the least amount of energy to utilize the right side of their brain, and they'll look at them and they'll say, oh, they're the creative. Right? They're the ones that are creative. And those in the innovator quadrant of the brain, that front right portion of the brain, that's where innovation lies. That's where a lot of your out-of-the-box thinking, your forward thinking, your abstract thinking, your abstract art, that all comes from that portion of the brain. So obviously individuals who work with the least amount of energy, literally their micronutrition to use that section of the brain, well, they're going to appear to always be much more creative under current societal terms of creativity than the rest of the population. Your nurturers also tend to appear to be very creative in their art, in their, you know, painters, sculptors. Music is housed in the back right portion of the brain, and therefore those are the nurture label. For those of you who like the labels, they are the nurturers, and those are the individuals that will bring nature into it, and they'll be very musically inclined, naturally musically gifted, because they spend the least amount of energy working there. So it just comes natural. Now, this is where there's a big break in the population, because a lot of people think that those left-brainers are not creative, and yet I challenge that, because to me, left-brainers have a natural creativity that just isn't what people label creativity. Right? Do you follow me? Let me explain. So individuals who are, per se, your master coordinators, they're your organizers. They're the individuals that sequence everything. Their lives are very sequential. Their lives are very organized. Their lives are very well put together, because that's the section of the brain that all of us use when we're doing those types of functions. So individuals who spend the least amount of energy there, hey, they're naturally gifted at it. So they are going to be very creative in the way that they do these processes. They may come up with amazing organizational processes that other portions of the brain are not going to be able to do. Other portions of the population are going to be challenged with doing that, because that's not their wheelhouse. That's not the area of their brain that they use with the greatest amount of ease. So they are creative. They're just creative in a left brain fashion. The same with the bosses, the front left portion of the brain. These are the individuals that are incredibly gifted in taking the lead and taking charge and delegating authority, and they can see long-term goals and the steps that it takes to get to those long-term goals with a great amount of ease. So they have this creative ability to achieve their goals. So I want to emphasize to all of you, anyone who's listening, even if you think you're not a naturally creative person, you do have your own natural creative gifts. You may just not be viewing them as a gift because it doesn't fit into what societal norm of creativity is. So first off, keep that in mind. All right, keep that in mind. Now, if your gift is not necessarily in the area of thinking outside of the box, what is it that you can do? Well, you can tap into the portions of the brain that help with that, right? And at the end of the day, we are all more or less born with the same brain, and we all use it more or less in the same way. We have areas of our brain where we spend less energy than the person sitting next to us, right? But we all have the same brain. We all have the same brain. And we just need to learn to tap into and utilize our brain now in a better way to achieve the creative process that we want to achieve, or to think outside of the box and tap in to the skills within your brain that maybe you just haven't honed well enough yet. Now, keep in mind that if the creative sections of your brain that we're talking about in terms of that outside of the box thinking, creatively problem solve something where you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, that is a natural gift of certain of those innovator brains. If that's not your wheelhouse, if you're the master coordinator, you're a left brain person naturally, what we're going to be talking about today is how to tap into that in a greater way, how to create those neural connections so that you can tap into that natural creativity that your brain has, that every brain has the capability of being able to do. My one caveat, or the one thing that I'd like to always inform people of, is don't feel like you have to live there, though. Don't overuse the energy in your brain and exhaust yourself, right? Learn the techniques of what may help you to think outside of the box more, but don't go get a job that's going to require that, if that's honestly not what energizes you. But it's great to learn how to tap into this for those moments when you do need it, or when you do want to use it, or maybe you are a creative type person and you're just in that stuck position where you're writing a book or you're creating something and you can't get past that block. Well, we're going to talk about some of the things that you can do to get past that as we progress into the show, in the second half of the show. But in terms of the brain itself, they have been able to identify sections of the brain and what happens in the brain, and not just the sections of the brain that light up when you're thinking outside of the box, but also what things help those areas better, what activities help those areas better, as well as which sections of the brain you really need to focus on those bursts of enthusiasm, those bursts of creativity. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this. As we talk about the brain, there are two gentlemen, Dr. Beeman and Dr. Quinos, a professor of applied cognitive and brain sciences at Drexel University, and they have investigated the creative process using these fMRI machines, functional magnetic resonance imaging machines, and the electroencephalograms, these machines that will help you to help them to have a clearer understanding of what portion of the brain lights up and when. And there's a couple of very interesting things. One of the studies that they did, they wanted to kind of map what's going on in the brain. And during these studies, the subjects were shown three test words and were told to press a button and announce the solution as soon as they had it. Right? So here's a problem. Here, as soon as you figure out the solution, you press this button. And then they were asked to press a second button. And that second button was to indicate whether they arrived at it analytically, in a left brain fashion, or intuitively in a right brain fashion. When the answer was intuitive, this is so cool, about a third of a second before the subject pushed the answer button, the EEG picked up a burst of gamma wave oscillations above the right ear, right side of the brain, right? The fMRI pinpointed that activity in the right inferior superior temporal gyrus. This is the region of the brain that has a role in a number of processes, including language, and it helps us to meditate. It also helps us mediate the neurology of the reward experience. So they're actually getting this reward. People who came at things intuitively Well, they were ones that were able to then actually receive a little burst of this enthusiasm that in this reward center of the brain, which I thought was very interesting. Another thing that they noticed was that a full second before the insight, there was a burst of alpha wave activity. So it was gamma wave in the first situation. It was it is alpha wave in the second situation. And a full second before, this burst of alpha wave activity was in the right occipital cortex, which plays a central role in the processing of vision. Alpha waves are also known to be suppressing or dialing down brain activity rather than ramping it up. So this could also be one of the reasons why you tend to close your eyes when you're trying to think of something, because the brain alpha wave activity was slowing down or shutting down the visual cortex to stop the visual distraction or the visual white noise, so your brain could come up with the answer better. Those were just a couple of little interesting things about what goes on in your actual brain when you're going through this creative process. Okay. Now, what are some things? So that's your brain. You have these sections of the brain that are very creative, that are, as society deems, you know, creativity, right? Then there is which portion of the brain, right side of the brain, these brain scans are showing or are proving or backing up. But now, what is it that we can do as individuals? What are things that either help hinder our ability to tap into this creative process? And one of the things that was in this particular Time Magazine there's an entire article that's devoted to the power of sleep. And I've talked about sleep in the brain before on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, just talking about how incredibly important it is to get your sleep for all types of brain health. Okay. All types of brain health. It's very important. We'll probably continue to do shows in the future on sleep. But when we're talking about sleep as it is connected to creativity, it's pretty interesting to note how important it is. I explain sleep a lot of times that when you go into this, there's the two main parts of sleep, right? There's just your REM or your non-REM sleep, your non-rapid eye movement sleep, that's that portion in between the rapid eye movement sleep, the REM sleep. And the REM sleep is what is so incredibly important for our brain health. This is when your brain kind of goes through a defragging, for those computer people out there, a defragging process. This is when your brain goes, okay, there are a billion bits of micro information that I have taken in during the course of the day, during the course of the waking hours. Now I have to decipher while my host, while the person is in this deep restful state, I have to go through and I have to decipher what of this information is important to keep and what of this information I have to eject, I have to just forget, I have to get rid of, because it's not important information to hang on to. And the way that it figures out what it's important to hang on to is normally to connect it to other things in your brain, other important things that your brain has already solidly placed in your memory banks. And that's why dreams are so incredibly strange for a lot of people, right? Because it's taking all kinds of random facts that your brain already knows and analyzing that in connection to random facts that it just picked up during the course of the day. That's basically what is happening during this particular point and time. It's interesting to note that most of your rapid eye movement sleep, your REM sleep, comes in the last 4 hours of slumber, says cognitive neuroscientist Jessica Payne of Notre Dame University. She said dreams in the early non-REM phase can be kind of literal, kind of real. It says, but it's in the REM phase that you get all those crazy, crazy connections of your brain going through this defragging process. And this is when this brain activity is being measured in a lot of people that are studying the sleep. There was a really interesting study that was done in 2009 at the university. It was a combination study between UCLA, University of Los Angeles, University of California, Los Angeles, and the University of California in San Diego. They did is they took this group of volunteers and they had them solve word puzzles. This is going to express to you, is going to impress to you how important sleep is. They had them solve word puzzles and the volunteers had to take a test twice with a 40-minute nap in between. So it was the same test, but twice. Or I shouldn't say it's the same test. The article doesn't specify that. It just says had to take a test twice, had to take the test twice. So it is implying it was the same test with a 40-minute nap in between. Some just rested during this 40-minute nap or during this 40-minute interval, but others actually fell asleep. And some actually tumbled into the depths of REM sleep, which is very unusual in that short period of time, but they did, based on the brain scans. In round two of the test, participants who got a slug of REM sleep improved, get this, this is so powerful, improved their test scores by 40%. While the other volunteers actually saw their scores go down, appeared to sharpen their brain's ability to find the links among these words within the test. Isn't that interesting? So interesting. There was another study in 2004 at the University of Lübeck in Germany, and it approached the same idea but had different, revealed a little bit more. So subjects were required to complete math problems that relied on algorithms. But hidden deep within the formulas was an elegant algorithmic shortcut. In other words, there was a way that they could find within this long process to actually shorten the process. About 25% of the subjects discovered it on their own. But that figure jumped to 59% when the volunteers were given a chance to get 8 hours of sleep and then come back for more. Isn't that interesting? So a neuroscience, cognitive neuroscience, Howard Newsman of the University of Chicago, he said, if you have an idea about a simpler solution and it's been working itself out in your head, you still tend to use the familiar one. However, when you sleep, the better answer has a chance to emerge. So actually sleeping on the problem and getting that good deep sleep is so incredibly important. All right. We are going to have to go out to our first break or our break on the Brain Lady Speaks Radio program. When we come back, we're going to discuss this more. We're going to talk about dopamine.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Hey everyone, Julie Brain Lady Anderson here, and I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the Your Best Mind Certification Program. It is with this program that we are helping to change the world one brain at a time. You see, it's our vision that by providing an educational and uplifting message to individuals about their unique brain gifts, we can help them to maximize the power of their brain and personality, not in a metaphysical way, but with science. and that is the core of what we teach at Your Best Mind. However, as you can imagine, taking this life-changing message to the world is a very large undertaking, and that is why we created the Your Best Mind Certification Program. This program is a compilation of over 2 decades of training, research, hands-on application, and preparation by yours truly, Julie Brain Lady Henderson. I am the owner, the founder, and CEO of Your Best Mind, and I have put together the gems of my education of over 22 years now to create a remarkable program to pass on to those who are up for the challenge. As a certified consultant, you will receive an intense training by me personally for a short period of time. You will receive a copy of all of my products, my programs, as well as the Your Best Mind products and programs. And you will receive that unmatched training for understanding how to process the brain personality connection assessment, the most powerful and comprehensive assessment, personality assessing tool available on the market today. So if you're interested in this, please reach out and talk to us. Send us an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com and put in the subject box certification program, and we will set up a time to chat, and you can help me change the world for better, one brain at a time.
Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show with Julie Anderson. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. We are here talking about the brain and creativity. So we've covered a lot of information about what makes the brain creative, what your brain does during sleep, how important that is. Before we go on to the tips that I wanted to share with everyone, actual things that you can do in your day-to-day life, I wanted to touch a little bit more on what the brain does when it takes this break of sleep. The brain is kind of like a very... well, actually far surpasses, right, any amazing high quality or highly technical computer system. It way surpasses that. But one of the things that it does that's similar to a computer system is that it can run many programs at the same time. So even though you may be focusing on one particular thing, at that time that you're focusing on project A, your brain is doing multiple other things. It's running all of the body systems, right? It's running your digestive system, your cardiovascular system, your immune system. It's running all of these systems in the background constantly, 24/7, right? Unless you're overly stressed and it's shutting part of it down. It is running it on a regular basis all the time. It is also kind of running problem-solving programs on things that are not, that you may not be focusing on at the moment. And to illustrate this, think about it. You have, let's say you're having a conversation with someone and it's like, oh my goodness, this just happened to me. Actually, just a couple days ago, I was talking with someone. I went and picked up something at their house, and we were trying to remember the name of, she has a dog that was is the same as our, from the same litter, same group as my pups, a couple of my pups. And we were trying to remember the name of the female dog, the mom dog. And we couldn't remember it. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, how could we not forget this name? And it was a very unique name. And so anyways, we gave up and I drive off. And no sooner do I get about 10 minutes away from her house that in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about something completely different than the name of the dog. We had completely passed that and gone on to something else. My brain was focusing on something else. And all of a sudden, the name Sophie pops into my head. I'm like, oh my goodness, that was the dog's name. It was Sophie. So I texted my friend, hey, it was Sophie. She goes, oh yeah, that's right. So what my brain was doing is though, even though I had gone on to processing something else, my brain was still working on that problem in the background. And that's a lot of what goes on when you're sleeping. Your brain is working on these problems that you or challenges that you may have had during the day. And it's going to oftentimes come up with a solution or with an answer or with something that will help us to achieve that solution. The problem is oftentimes we forget what happens when we sleep. So I'm going to talk about some tools that you can use to help record or help remember the things that pop into your head at those times during night or during the night. And it also is a really good, that's one of the really good tips that I want to share, is to just walk away from, you know, walk away from the project sometimes is the best way to solve the project. And I'll explain that more. I did want to talk a little bit about something else that was really interesting that they found with another study. There's just so many studies. But one of them had to do with dopamine. And I thought this was just amazing. You've got all these different connections that go on in the brain, right? And neurochemicals and different things that bounce around that help our brain function. And interestingly enough, something came up in one of their studies about cortisol, and I thought this was so fascinating. It was done, let me see, this was at the University of Rome, and they were doing some research on what's going on in the brain while you're asleep. And they said that, talking about the hormone cortisol, and they said that it actually, now cortisol gets a really bad wrap because it is a stress hormone, and it's not necessarily good for the body if it's being secreted throughout the day. But it said the hormone cortisol actually rises during the rapid eye movement sleep and then helps to form new and imaginative ideas from the data that survives that defrag program that I talked about. Cortisol is a stress hormone and does tend to fracture Cortisol is a stress, I'm quoting from the magazine, stress hormone, and tends to fracture memory, but it has the same effect on us when we're asleep. This Dr. Payne believes this encourages the unbinding and then rebinding of images that can define our dreams. He goes on to say, this is something that I've said for many years, the brain dislikes fragmentation, so it weaves narratives, and that in turn gives rise to novel thinking. It goes on, the article goes on to say that dopamine is another ingredient in the brain's secretion, in the brain's secret creative sauce. Harvard University psychologist Shelley Carson, author of Your Creative Brain, points out that dopamine levels rise in the brain's pleasure centers when we are dreaming and when we're being creative. So it's the same process when we're asleep or we're awake being creative, when we're dreaming or we're being creative. This serves as a reward and reinforcement that keeps the dreams and ideas continuing to flow. That was pretty interesting, right? So there's actually these neurochemical reactions within the brain that assist us. Is another study that was done by David Watson of the University of Notre Dame. He tracked 200 subjects over 3 months and found that those who scored high on creative skills when awake tended to remember their dreams more. He said one reason is that they simply have more vivid and interesting dreams. This is linked to having an active fantasy life. The daytime behavior shades over into the night, and this can cause those creative brains to work even better. I thought that was pretty interesting of what goes on in the brain. So what do we do? How do we tap into that creative? How do we become more creative, as it would seem, by engaging different parts, different actual techniques that we can do? Well, since we were talking about sleep, obviously the first is get good sleep. If you want to flex that creative problem solving muscle and you want to be able to tap into your brain's ability to do some of this problem solving while you're sleeping, you've got to get good REM sleep. If you're not getting good REM sleep, then a lot of those problems that your brain can help you solve, it's not going to be able to do because you're not getting the good sleep. So get good sleep. One of the suggestions from the magazine even talks about putting a notebook next to your bed so that when you wake up, you know how sometimes you wake up from deep sleep and you're like, oh, that was such a vivid dream. And then you go to share that dream with someone 4 or 5 hours later during the middle of the day, and you don't even remember half of the dream. Sometimes hidden within these dreams, because remember, this is your brain's defrag time. This is the brain's time when it's connecting existing facts and memories, existing things that it knows, with this new information that's come in during the day. So if you're focusing a lot during the day on a particular problem, you may be adding new facts, new bits of information into your brain. When you're sleeping, your brain is going, which of these facts are important and which of them are not. And the way that it's going to do that is by tapping into things that it already has stored in its memory bank.
Listening now, I apologize. We had some connection issues, and I'm not really sure which lines are active and which lines aren't. So I am calling in on an outside line as well onto the show. So hopefully we are back in line. If anyone was listening live, I hope you hung in there with us for that couple of minutes. I don't know what is wrong with the technical issues here with this, but it is just getting frustrating. But I'm not going to let it stifle the excitement over the creative process and topics that we're discussing right now on the program. So when we cut off, we were talking about sleep. We were talking about how the brain's making those connections during sleep. So if we keep that notebook next to us, next to our bed, if we have a very vivid dream that you think is going to help you in solving your problems or tapping into your creativities, then, you know, have that notebook next to your bed. I also am very much in, when I talk about just how to get your brain, tap into your brain strengths and how to be somewhat organized in a business fashion, when you're dealing with all of the tasks, helping your brain to stay semi-organized with the multiple tasks that you have as an entrepreneur or just as a busy person, one of the great things to do is you always want to have write down right before you go to bed at night all of the different things that you need to accomplish the next day or the next week or during the week. And what this does is it helps your brain to actually start focusing on those challenges and on those tasks that you need to accomplish during the week before the week actually even starts, because remember, you're now sleeping on it. So you can take that same concept and you can do that in terms of a problem-solving skill, because or learning to train your problem-solving skill, because the last thing that you think about before you go to bed at night is going to be the first thing that your brain is going to work on or is going to meditate on while you are asleep, right? So here's where we utilize that same thing of having that journal or a list at night before. If you're really struggling with a particular challenge, write that challenge down and think about that challenge, not too heavily. Don't stress your brain, but think about that challenge at night before you go to bed. And then chances are your brain might just make some of those great connections during during the night. Okay, that's the first one, that connected to sleep. Get good sleep, keep a journal by, that's actually three parts to the first one, right? Get good sleep, keep a journal by your bed while you sleep, or before you, or when you sleep, in case you come, you know, wake up with a brainstorm and you don't want to forget it during the day, and go over your problem, write down your problem in that same journal the night before you go to sleep, and that's what your brain is going to focus on. I like another good thing is to kind of break away from the problem and let your mind kind of wander on something completely different. Like what I mentioned earlier about coming up with a name and remembering the name of the dog, of my dog's mom, right? If you're trying to force an answer, if you're trying to force the creative process, your brain, it doesn't like that. It doesn't respond well. So walking away from the problem, leaving it on the table, walking away and completely doing something different that is utilizing a completely different portion of your brain, and just allow your brain's natural process to run in the background, so to speak, it really is helpful. Sometimes that means just really not doing much of any thinking, letting your brain just kind of go into a daydreaming state where you're not really focusing on anything. Basically, taking a break. I like to tell people to get out of their specific physical location. If you are in an office and you're trying to figure out this problem, you're in front of a computer screen trying to figure out this problem, get out of that situation, which leads into the next tip. And that tip is to literally walk around outside. Get outside, get fresh air. There are so many benefits to fresh air and the brain. And engaging that, getting outside, movement, getting the fresh air can help to just literally put more oxygen in the brain, and that's going to help to stimulate the brain's thinking process as a whole, right? And my next tip is don't stifle your creativity by comparing it to someone else's. Like, this other person always comes up with these, with the answers, why can't I? That doesn't, remember, you are you. You are as unique as your thumbprint. You are you. Do not tell your brain anything negative by saying, I wish I could be like, or why can't I be this? Tap into your own natural gifts. Don't worry or try to compare to someone else's. All right, that's the next tip. The next tip. I guess this would be what, tip number four. It kind of bounces off the getting outside and moving. It's just simply moving where you are. Any kind of movement is going to stimulate oxygen, the oxygen level in your brain. It's also going to open up and engage different portions of the brain. So there's this entire section of your brain that's devoted just to large muscle movement. And when you get up and you move, activating that those portions of the brain is like circulating, it's increasing the circulation in different portions of your brain. And it helps your brain to process information. So get up and move. Right, that's another great tip. Create for yourself a creative space. Have a creative space, whether that's indoors or outdoors or both. Have an area where you can go when you want to problem solve, when you want to think outside of the box, when you want to be creative. And that creative space could have, abstract art in it. It could have pictures of things that inspire you. Does nature inspire you? Does your family inspire you? Make a space with colors, a color palette that stimulates creativity in your brain. Right? All of these different things are great to help your brain be happy. Remember, it has to do with endorphins, get that dopamine going, right? Make a creative space. Keep writings and quotes and maybe even pictures around your desk or in a book on your desk that you can pick up and read from time to time or look at from time to time of people who inspire you, people who did think outside of the box, people who you admire, individuals who they're just the way that they say things or said things, if they're a person from history, that their way of thinking or their way of processing information or stating information, it inspires you. And sometimes just picking that up and reading that helps. I love the doing brain games. Again, it kind of helps your brain break from the intense process of trying to solve a problem. Pull out your brain game book. Do a Sudoku. Do a some kind of abstract problem-solving game that's different than the problem-solving skill that you're trying to access or the problem-solving portion of your brain that you're trying to access with this particular problem. And sometimes doing that, it just takes your brain, it exercises your brain, and it opens up, it has your brain look at something from a different perspective. Now, for the next tip, bouncing off the different perspective, is to do mind mapping, because that will help your brain to visually walk its way through the problem. If you don't know how to mind map, shoot me an email, info@yourbestmindonline.com, and put mind mapping in the subject box, and I'll get you some information on how to better mind map and direct you to some videos that I've done. But mind mapping is an excellent way to organize creative thoughts in your brain, to organize any thoughts in your brain, right? So do some mind mapping. That will help because, again, it takes it out of just writing on a linear page and a line and puts it into a visual space, which helps the brain to become more creative and work on this creative problem-solving, thinking outside of the box ability. And that leads to the next tip, which is actually throwing all the ideas out in your space, utilizing your space. Again, these are things that you're not going to learn them in school. You're not going to learn them in some kind of business class. But They're excellent ways of thinking outside of the box and tapping into your brain's natural creative ability. And that is to utilize your space, not in your desk, but literally walk to the middle of the room, take 8x10 sheets of blank paper, write your thoughts and your ideas or your challenges on those papers, write potential solutions to those problems on papers, and literally lay them out on the floor in front of you. All over the place in the floor in front of you. You might want to use different colored papers for different thoughts or different ideas or different directions. This is a great team problem-solving tool as well. Really get into that space. And when you look at it from a different perspective, when you're standing over it written in large words and using just words instead of just a huge paragraph's worth of ideas, sometimes your brain is able to physically step back and go, oh, I get it, I can do this, right? Okay, so those are some of those tips. Great tips. Thinking outside of the box. The last one that I want to share is actually connect with a teammate. Talk it out. If you don't have a teammate that you can talk it out with, in other words, if you don't necessarily have someone or your bestie or whatever that you can talk it out, because sometimes audibly your brain reacts differently when you're hearing yourself talk versus when you're just hearing yourself think. There is a difference in the brain response. So sometimes just talking to your dog is helpful, you know, talk to the inanimate object. I know it sounds crazy, but it is functional and it does work. And that will help your brain think outside of the box if you don't have another person to just simply bounce it off. Again, the main thing is that you're saying it out loud. And it's oftentimes that's what helps you to come to that conclusion. All right. If you want a list of these top tips, we are at the end of the show now. If you want a list of these top tips for training the creative brain, then just shoot me an email at info@yourbestmindonline.com and put creative brain in the subject box, and we'll get you that PDF, that cool little thing there for you to put up on your wall and keep visible to help you think outside the box and stretch and exercise that creative muscle that we all naturally have, okay? All right. This wraps up the end of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show for today. Again, I apologize for any of the technical difficulties for anyone who wanted to listen to the download of last week's and that didn't work to anyone who was on the show today or listening today and got caught in that little glitch there. I will take care of that in post-show editing, try to get that so that when anyone later on listens to the download, you'll all be thinking, what's Julie talking about? Because I didn't hear any problems. Well, now you'll know what it is. Hopefully we'll get all those out. Thank you for listening to the Brain Lady Radio Show today. I like to stay connected with all of my listeners. There's great ways to do that. One is go to your iTunes store or to your Play store on your Android devices and download the Your Best Mind app. It's just Your Best Mind, all one word. We send out positive thought quotes on Mondays. We send out notices about the show on Wednesdays, and we send out fun brain facts on Fridays. Lots of stuff, lots of interesting stuff, and that way you can stay connected with any releases or great information that comes out of the Your Best Mind business. Also, reach out and stay with me, connected with me on all the social media outlets. I'm the Purple Brain Lady on Facebook, or Brain Lady Julie, Julie Brain Lady Anderson. You can find my fan page on Facebook that way, or you can go to our business page, Your Best Mind Online, facebook.com/yourbestmindonline. On LinkedIn and Instagram, I am Brain Lady Julie. On Twitter, I am @BrainLady. My business sites are yourbestmindonline.com. That's where you can find information about that amazing certification program that we talked about today a little bit. And it is also where you can find all of the products and programs, services and programs that we offer. If you are meeting planner, or you think that you would love to have the Brain Lady come speak on one of these topics at one of your events or for your company and your corporate, we have some great corporate topics, go to brainladyspeaker.com and check out all of the things that we have to offer with the Brain Lady Speaks programs. All right, that is it for now. I want everyone to just have a really great week coming up and join me next Wednesday for another awesome Brain Lady Speaks radio show program. And until then, I want everyone to simply enjoy every moment.
thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in to The Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson next week and every week, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening. This is the EWN Podcast Network.